Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I think God has something special for you today. I want to read to you out of Luke chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 4, 18 and 19. I know we put this on the screen and that's for your convenience, but you know there's nothing like opening up your book and looking in it and holding it and talking to God and looking back at a scripture And anyway, Luke chapter 14, or chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus, beginning his ministry, walks into the church, and he picks up the book of Isaiah, and he reads out of it, and he reads Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. But this is how Luke records it. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed or those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Holy Spirit, use me today. You know just what everyone listening to me, just what that one person needs. And I just ask that you touch their heart, that you be big in their life today. Oh, we're so grateful. I'm so grateful for the Lord. He always gives me what I need. He always gives me what I need. He gives it to me even when I don't know what I need. I want us to think about this scripture just for a few minutes. Jesus is here. Just the magnitude of this, just the reality of this, what he just said. He just announced that the waiting was over. He walked in there and he said, everything you've been believing for, everything you've been hoping for. You guys have been telling the story about God sending the Messiah here. You've been telling that story for thousands of years. And those folks that were listening to him had been waiting. You've been waiting for all those years. And he's saying, hey, the day you've been waiting on is here. I think we spend too much of our time waiting on God to do something. And you know what? God is already here. Waiting on him to show up, he is already here and he is already doing it. When Jesus stood before, give him some praise. When Jesus stood before him here, he says, "What you guys have been waiting on is here." And he closed the book and sat down. And the Bible says everybody in there was bug-eyed. Everybody was in there was looking. Everybody in there had their attention focused on him. And he said, "This day, this scripture's fulfilled." I don't know, but he wasn't just saying that to those folks. What's he saying to us today? What's he saying to you today? He's saying to you today, what you've been waiting on is here. Guess that would have been a good title for today. But what you've been waiting on is here. I don't know. I just want to take up for Jesus for a little while here, if that's all right with you. I am so sick of everybody thinking that they've got to be so politically correct, that they've got to be so careful what they say, and whatever you do, don't say Jesus in public. Whatever you do, don't let that influence show, because it's not correct. Baloney! Jesus is Lord. And if the world doesn't see Jesus in us, bless God, they're not going to see him, period. And that wasn't what I was going to talk about, but it just blew up in there. I'm sorry. I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and I just stopped my car and started shouting. It said, "He's not the man upstairs. His name is Jesus." And I just say, Jesus is here today for you. He's saying here to you today, he's saying the very breath of God, Jehovah, the all-sufficient one, the almighty, the very breath of God is on me, and he's anointed me, Yeshua, your Savior, your Redeemer, he's anointed me to tell you the good news. Excuse me. I just anticipated me being real still and telling you this, but I'm telling you what, Jesus is he's blowing up inside of me. And I'll tell you what, with all the news going around, this world needs to see some good news. Needs to see some good news. Man, the very Spirit of God, the very Holy Spirit of God is upon me. And he's on me for you, so that I can tell you the good news. And I can honestly say this today, the very Spirit of the Lord is on me today, so that I can tell you about Jesus and how he loves you and how he cares about you and how he cares about every part of your life. He's anointed me. I'm Yeshua. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. I'm the Rescuer. I'm the Deliverer. And he came to deliver you from whatever the devil's trying to do to you. He's anointed me to announce the good news to you, to the poor, to the humble, to the afflicted, to the needy, to the weak. He's anointed me to bring the message of his kindness to you. I'm telling you today, I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you're facing, but I know Jesus has already came, and he's already dealt with it, and he's already won you the victory, and he's already taken care of the devil, and he's already did everything that needs to be done. He's already paid every price that needs to be paid. Don't keep on clapping for him if you want to. You don't have to, just because I don't shut up, man. I think we just ought to get so full of Jesus that we can't shut up. We can't quit praising him. We can't quit standing for him. But he's already done everything. He's already defeated the devil. He's already done everything for your victory. He's already paid every price that could be paid and then some. He's already shed that blood for you. It's already a done deal. And he's just waiting for you and for me to agree with what he did. Well, I'm trying, Lord. Huh? I'm trying, Lord. Whew, man. So I'm here today to bring you the good news of his kindness. He's here to bless you. He's here to help you. He came to tell us the good news. All of us, that those times when we feel helpless and those times when we feel powerless and those times when we feel hopelessness, he's saying, hey, I'm here for you. And I'm enough. And like Greg was saying, well, he's not saying nothing bad's going to ever happen. Nothing, you know, everything's going to go smooth. I wish it was, but I'm sorry, it's not going to. Now, after he's put in the bottomless pit, it's going to be different. But right now, it's not different. But we don't have to live like we used to live before we were saved. We don't have to live, most of us, like we've been living since we've been saved. We've got some power in us. We've got some power behind us, some authority behind us. And he said, behold, I give it to you, Hank. I give it to you. Give it to you. I give it to you. Now, go out here in this world and see what a ruckus you can stir up. Huh? Oh, I'm not talking about mean and signs and protests. No, go out here. Go out here and let them see what the real power of God is. Don't call for the preacher. Why don't you show them? Why don't you let him do something through you? I'm telling you here, yeah, he's not here to so that we never have a problem. He's just here to assure that we have victory in every challenge, everything that comes our way. He's here to help you in every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body. And I don't know what you're in today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been thinking about. But I wish you'd quit thinking about it and start thinking about him. Because he said, I am here. I am here. That word gospel is interesting. It's translated 76 times in the New Testament. It's translated, the Greek noun is, it means good news. And it's used as a verb 54 times, and it means to bring or to announce that good news. And both words come from a noun that means messenger. And classical Greek, in classical Greek, that messenger is one who brought a message of victory. Or maybe he brought a message of political or personal news that caused joy. Brought a message that he was a messenger that was here to speak gladness and to proclaim good news. And that term became symbolic, or became known as a victory, a good news, here for your joy, here for your happiness. You know what? I don't see, well, I do around here, starting to see more around here, but I don't see a whole lot of Christians all the time with joy. I see some of us sometimes with our foreheads wrinkled up and wondering why this is happening to me. Wondering, how am I going to make it through this? And you know what? But I just love God. I told somebody a while ago, I said, they were telling me about something that was happening in their life. And I said, you know what? I said, but God already read the last chapter of that book. Huh? God already knows your ending from your beginning. He's already got it fixed for you. So why don't you just smile and enjoy the trip? Huh? Why don't you, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Don't wait on a feeling for the joy of the Lord. No, the joy of the Lord's my strength. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what's going on around me. The joy of the Lord's in me. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I don't have to wait for a feeling. I don't have to wait for everything to go right. I don't know if you realize what's been happening the last 6 or 8 months, but the Holy Spirit is systematically removing everything from us that stops us from receiving the goodness of God. And I'm here to tell you today, God loves you. And he's got a wall of protection around you. And he cares about you. I had a preacher say about me, didn't say it to me. He didn't have the nerve to say it to me. He said it behind my back. How many times can he say, God loves you? I thought about that when I heard it. I said, I don't know, million, trillion, 2 trillion, whatever numbers come after that, till I take my last breath. God loves you. And there's a hedge around you. You say, well, how, if there's a hedge around me, how come? Why? Well, let's just talk about a hedge a little bit. I've been reading about Job. I never did like to read Job too much, you know. I just never, that's a book I always just kind of skipped over. But I've been reading that a little bit. I'm not going to talk just about Job, but let me read you something out of the first chapter. Read you verses 7 through 10. And most of us know the story, but you know, most of us don't know the story. I mean, we know what we think the story is, but we don't really know what the story is. And Satan comes up to God in verse 7. I guess he came up to him in verse 7. I don't know. That's what it says here. But he says, where have you come from? The Lord asks Satan. And Satan answered the Lord. He said, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. And I thought, boy, doesn't that sound like 1 Peter, when Peter said, he's going around like a roaring lion, just seeking who he can devour. Doesn't that kind of line up a little bit? He says, therefore the Lord asked Satan, said, well, have you noticed my servant Job? Said, he's the finest man in all the earth. He's blameless. He's a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Now let me just throw something in here. You're not supposed to walk around afraid of God. And if you fix this in your mind right now, every time you see this phrase in here, fear God, it'll make sense to you. That word fear, it means to respect and reverence. You got that? Respect and reverence. Said he respects and reverences God, and he stays away from evil. If you respect and reverence God, you won't do a lot of the stuff you used to do. You won't care about a lot of the stuff you used to care about. Because if you respect and reverence him, he'll be the center of your attention. Anyway. And Satan replied to the Lord and said, yeah, but you know, Job has a good reason to respect and reverence you. You've always put a wall of protection, or the King James says a hedge around him and his home and his property. You've made him prosper in everything that he does. Look how rich he is. Okay, I wasn't going to do this, but before we go any further, what did that just say? What did the devil knows God's kindness towards us. The devil knows what God wants to do in our life and what he will do in our life. It's just we're the only ones that don't know. What did he say here? He said, you've put a raw wall of protection or a hedge around him, around his home, around his property. You've made him to prosper in everything that he does. Who made him prosper? We're going to be here about 1 o'clock if y'all don't get it. I can't go late because Frank let you out early last week. Thank you, Frank, for taking such good care of the folks last week. So, man, if I don't get done at least on time or a little early, I'll be in trouble. Who did that? Who made him prosper in everything that he did? Thank you back there. Who made him prosper in everything that he did? Is it wrong to prosper in everything that you do? I'm reading on the internet the other day, and it says it's making fun, and it's talking about these people that preach the prosperity gospel. I'm sorry, I don't know any other gospel. There's not any other gospel in the book except that God wants to bless you in every area of your life. He made you to prosper in everything. Then what did he say? Look at him. He's very rich. Most Christians think the word rich is a cuss word. He's starting to turn some things around in some of your lives. And I'm believing everybody. I'm believing everybody's. I can't tell that now. Said he put a hedge around him. Put a wall of protection around him. Around his family. Around all that he's had. He has a wall of protection around you. Now listen, I know that's hard to comprehend, but I want to help you just a few minutes here. If he's got a wall of protection around me, how come this happened? How come that happened? There was a time in my life where I never thought I'd be able to preach a message like this again. Oh, but since then I've met Jesus. I've met him deeper and more intimately than I had ever met him before. And every day it gets better and better and better. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to tell you today and give you all the explanations about why bad things happen to good people. But they do. But I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't do it. If it's bad, God didn't do it. Now, when he takes credit for it, he takes the credit for doing it because he created Lucifer, the one that rebelled against him. And so God is a man of man's. He's a man of integrity. He takes the responsibility. But God didn't put all these things that happened to Job on Job. I'm sorry. God didn't take my son. I'm sorry. God didn't do all those bad things that have happened to me. I'm sorry. God didn't do that. Look at verses 11 and 12 here. This is what the devil tells God. He says, Now, Lord, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. See what he says? He says, God, you stretch out your hand and do it. You see, we're under the impression that God controls everything and that God either puts stuff on us or he allows it to happen. And folks, that's not what the Bible teaches. And I don't have time to teach it all today, but we're going to get it. He says, God, you stretch out your hand and touch him, smite him, take all his stuff, kill his kids. You take it. You stretch out your hand and do this and make him sick and put boils on him. And you stretch out your hand and do that. What does God say back to him? Verse 12, the Lord says to Satan, oh, no, behold, all that he has is in your power. You get that? He's telling the devil, hey, no, hold it. All that he has is already in your power. Think about that. He says, now you can't take him. You can't touch him. You can't kill him. But all that he has is already in your power. You see, what we don't understand, folks, is when sin entered the world, when Adam chose to follow the serpent instead of God, when he chose to believe him and obey him rather than God, sin entered the world. What Adam actually did was Adam actually gave God the power of attorney over this earth and all that's in it. Even Jesus talked about Satan, the devil, the god of this world. Now catch this, and I hesitated to open this because I don't have time to really get into it, but maybe we'll do a whole service on this. But God said, here, I've made it all for you, Adam. Here it is, I give it to you. And Adam said, thank you, I take it. And then a little bit later he said, here, devil, I give it to you. See, really, the wealth and the stuff on this earth is, I believe, is still under the control of Satan. The only difference now is that we have been born again. Now we have been born into another kingdom. Now he has given us the authority to take back what Adam gave to the devil. Chapter 2, verse 7 says this, and folks, you just can't make it any plainer than this. Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils. Who struck him? Satan, the devil. From the soles of his feet to the crown of his feet. The devil struck him. Not God. The devil struck him. Say something with me. We used to say this all the time. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Does God never let us go through bad? No. But I'll tell you what the Bible does say. He says, Hank, I won't let anything be put on you that you can't handle, that you can't bear. But everything that happens to you, everything that the enemy tries on you, I'll make a way of escape for you. I'll make it so that you can handle it, so that you can bear it. Your Bible says that. I'm telling you what, if you catch a hold of this thing, if you catch a hold of what I'm saying, things will start changing in your life. I just want you to see out of this. We got to move on here. I just want you to see out of this. God told the devil, said, it's already in your power. Everything he has is already in your power. See, this earth is still operating under the God of this earth. But you know what's happening? God's taken some of us through Jesus Christ, and he's transferred us out of that kingdom of the natural world, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of God. And folks, this isn't just so we can get to heaven. And how many are glad you're going to heaven? I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but it isn't just so you can go to heaven. It's so you can cause a little bit of ruckus while you're still here. Sit down here, son. Sit down at my right side till we make your enemy your footstool. Sit down here, son. Hank's going to get a hold of some of this. And he's going to cause some serious damage in the devil's kingdom. Come on, sit down here, Jesus. Let's just watch. Every time he decides to agree with us, we'll just move mightily in his behalf. Every time he just decides to take what I've said and what you've done, and anytime he decides to take that and really believe it and act on it, we'll just cause the whole earth to shake. Oh, some of you, I know, man, it's hard to get rid of religion. It's hard to get rid of religious thinking, man. It's hard to get rid of the old thinking. As a matter of fact, if you look, I won't read it, but if you look at verse 3:25, you'll see how the enemy had a chance to get in on Job. That verse says that the things that I so greatly feared have come upon me. Anytime fear raises up in your life, it stops the faith from working in that area of your life. Fear is the exact opposite of faith. That's why Jesus said, man, don't worry about nothing. Huh? Don't worry about nothing. I got you a place secured. Don't worry about nothing. Don't let your heart be troubled. You know what that means? You know what it means in the English? Well, in the English it means, don't let your heart be troubled. You know what it means in the Greek? Clay, you know what it means in the Greek? It means don't let your heart be troubled. You know what it means in Hebrew? Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about it. I got you covered. I got a place made for you. In my Father's house, there's plenty of room, and I got a room just for you. Well, anyway, let's move on with this. I believe this, and I'm going to study it some more. God didn't raise the hedge off of Job. God doesn't raise his hands off of you to let the devil get you. Job raised the hedge. Job made a little crack in the hedge there. And I think we do the same thing. The purpose of this whole thing with Job was to get him to curse God. To get him to, you say, well, curse God. I would never curse God. But you know, James says that what cursing is, it's not those little four-letter words that get you so upset when you hear somebody say them. No, cursing is any negative thing that comes out of your mouth. Any negative thing you say about somebody else. Says that's cursing. And see, so his purpose was to get Job to turn on God and to think God did this. His purpose for us today is the same thing. He tries to get us to believe. He tries to get us to believe that God's behind what's happening to us. He wants today for me. He wants me to think that God's behind all the bad stuff that's happening to me, because if he can get me to think that, it messes my confidence up in God. And my confidence in him is my faith. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Job gave place to him. But he says, Paul tells us, don't give place to the devil. 2 Corinthians 10:15, 10:5 tells us what that is. How do you give place to the devil? Whenever I refuse to cast down those imaginations, I refuse to cast down all those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, when I refuse or when I don't take every thought into captivity, I open the door, I give place to the devil. Because if you're doing something now that's not right, you thought it a long time before you did it. And what you're thinking today will be what you're doing not very many days from now. So I'm thinking, I'm serving God with all my heart. I'm thinking, man, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm thinking everything my hand touches. I'm thinking everybody looks at me and goes, woohoo, isn't he rich? I'm thinking everybody looks at me and goes, wow, I don't know what he's got, but I want some of it. Had to get a little loud there. Had to wake some of you up. Our hedge. Exodus 12:13 says, the blood. This is when they were leaving out of Egypt. He was delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the house where you are staying. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. He said, when I see the blood. I'm telling you what, child of God, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and you received the price that blood you paid for you, you became a blood-bought child of God. And I'm telling you what, he's got his eye on you. And if you knew all the stuff he had already caused to pass over you, you'd just be amazed. You'd be thankful that you've only had to go through what you have had to go through. Zechariah 2:5 says, then I myself will be a protector, a wall of fire around Jerusalem, says the Lord, and I will be the glory inside the city. Man, I love that. Old Testament, he said, put the blood over the doorpost. This is a sign of the blood I'm going to send my son and he's going to shed for you. Put the blood over the doorpost, and when all the death angel and all that passes over, we'll skip your house. I won't tell you what, man. When he put the blood of Jesus Christ in my heart, I'm telling you what, he's got his eye on me. He's taking care of me. I wouldn't be here now if he wasn't taking care of me. Well, but this is the thing. Our hedge, and I've got to move on with this. Our hedge is the love of God. Our hedge around us is the love of God. It's the fact. It's the fact that God loves us. John says, it's not that we love him. No, it's that he loved us and sent his son for us. That's my hedge. And my hedge, Paul told me in Roman, my hedge said nothing, Hank. You have to apply this for yourself. You have to put your own name in the formula here. You have to put your own name in the equation. I mean, you have to put your own name in the book of life. You have to say, yes, I receive. He told me in Romans 8, he said, Hank, he said, nothing. Can you hear me in the back? Nothing. Nothing will ever be able to separate you from my love. And tell me, I got a wall around me. I got a hedge around me. If he can break down that hedge, and if he can get me to blame God, if he can get me to lose my confidence in God, man, he can just dump all kinds of stuff on me. But if I refuse to do that, and I continue to cast down those imaginations, and I bring all my thoughts into subjection to him, and everything that's contrary to God's word, you know, that means that I have to know what his word says. That means I got to read it once in a while, or else I won't know what thoughts are not him. What thoughts are him? And folks, can I tell you, that's one of the biggest problems we got right now. Christians are going around, and because grandma told them, and because this one told them, or that one told them, and we've got things, we read books and think that that's God. We read somebody's interpretation of God. Folks, there's people that think The Shack, there was a book out a while back, The Shack, and it was a good book, but there are people that think The Shack, it was the Bible. That was somebody's interpretation. And we're going around, and we don't know whether God's doing it or the devil's doing it, or whether we've done something wrong, or whether we've done something good, or we don't know what's going on. Anyway. So my hedge is his love for me. My hedge is my confidence in that love. Huh? You see, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Are you with me? Are you with me? If he can break through my hedge, if he can break down my confidence in God, if he can get me to doubt, if he can get me to wonder, then he just dumps all this kind of stuff on here. I'll say something. The devil has no defense against a person who really knows that God loves them. He has no defense against you. And the problem is, some of us need to get off the defense and get on the offense. Because when he said, I'm going to give you that power and no, the gates of hell won't stand against you. He wasn't talking about us standing and letting those gates charge us. We're supposed to be charging those gates of hell, and they can't stand up. They can't stay. Comes after you once you get bullheaded about it and just butt him one. Huh? Just get bullheaded about it. Just butt him, man. Oh, you're going to do this? I'm okay. Then I'm going to do this. I'm just going to butt him. I'm going to butt you. But God, but Jesus already took care of you. But Jesus is the last say in this. But my God loves me. But you can't do that and get away with it. Well, that's what you get from me telling God, God, use me to say whatever you want to say. Not saying that everything I say is what he wants to say. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that in the course of everything I say, he'll get something done that he wants to get done. How about that? Is that better? I have a problem with these guys that think they're the only ones that hear God. God told me. Well, yeah, God told me a lot of things that I didn't hear, and a lot of things I thought I did hear that I really wasn't him. It was just a good idea. Anyway. No, if he can penetrate that, see, if he can penetrate my thinking, my confidence in him. See, confidence is a feeling or a belief that something or something, someone or something is good and has the ability to succeed in something. That's just a regular definition of confidence. Confidence is a feeling of being certain that something will happen or that something is true. And you see, I'm confident in him. I'm confident that he's the final say. I'm confident that he's with me. And greater, and there's more with me than there is against me. I'm confident of his love for me. 1 John 5, 14-15, he says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will is his word, by the way, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's the confidence. If I ask him anything, he hears me. My confidence isn't in me. My confidence is in him. My confidence is that he hears. And verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we'll have our petitions, the petitions that we've asked of him. Confidence. I'm telling you, some of you looking like, oh, I wish you'd hurry up, I'm getting hungry. I'm telling you something, how you'll never get hungry again, if you can hear what I'm saying. I'm telling you what, my God hears me. Sometimes he turns me down a little bit because but my God hears me. He said, when you get through with all that nonsense, Hank, come on, I'll tune you back up again. I'll turn you back up. That doesn't happen to many of you because y'all already got it all figured out. You're all... Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, don't cast away or don't lose your confidence, which has great reward. Don't lose your confidence. Don't get down. Don't believe a lie. Don't believe that he doesn't love you. Don't believe that there's no purpose for your life. Don't believe that you just got to go through life and just exist. Don't believe all that stuff. It says, for you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. He's not saying, oh, I'm just going to keep going this because I'm learning to endure. No, the will of God is faith, believe in him. That's the will of God, that we walk in faith, that we walk believing him, that we walk no matter what happens to us, we believe that he's greater than the one that caused that to happen to us. And you see, when you don't know for sure if it's him doing it or if it's the devil doing it, you don't know, you can't have that confidence. So I just say, no, devil. If it's good, it's who? If it's bad, it's who? So when bad comes to me, I just go, no, devil, I'm not putting up with that. And you know, God is always able to, if he says, he's always able to whisper to me and tell me, but now, Hank, I want you to learn something out of this, and I want you to realize how this happened to you, and I want you to wise up a little bit, and I want you to know this so that the next time he doesn't get you this way. What he did to Job, what he tried to do to Job, is he tries to do to us too. But I love what Job says here. I don't know where he is. It says, verse 22 of the first chapter, it says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Huh? In the second chapter, verse 10, at the end of that, he said, Job did not sin with his lips. You're just not going to get me to say anymore, God, why did you do this? No, God, you didn't do this. And you correct me, you help me know, learn anything I need to learn out of this, but devil, you eat my dust. So, well, I wouldn't get that bold. I know. That's why he's going around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, and that's why he's devouring you. What's my confidence? My confidence is my faith in God, my faith in the fact that he loves me, my faith in the fact that he's here for my good, my faith in the fact that if I seek him, if I diligently seek him, he'll reward me. If I just go after him, he'll never fail me. If I just keep my eyes on him, he'll never let me down. If I'll just stay focused on him, he'll always be with me. My confidence is that no weapon formed against me will prosper. If I'll just keep focused on him, nothing will happen that I can't handle. If I just keep focused on him. See, my confidence, my faith is in the fact that he said, I'll never be angry with you again. I'll never rebuke you again. Said the mountains and the hills will fall down and crumble and leave. But he said, my kindness will never depart again. I'm making a new covenant with you. My covenant of peace, it'll never be removed. My Bible doesn't say that. Well, read Isaiah 54. He's prophesying what's going to happen as soon as Jesus comes and he puts a new covenant in the earth, and he's saying a promise and a covenant to any of us that will believe. Well, see, my confidence is in who he is. My confidence is in, that's my faith, my confidence. Got time to, I got to take 2 minutes here to talk about faith for a minute? What am I saying? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What am I saying here? I'm saying my substance, the substance of my being, it's the foundation of my life is I believe God. The foundation, the very core of my life. My mind is fixed. I'm firm about this. I'm settled. There's not any words big enough to explain it. But this is the very core of my being. It's my substance. My substance. It's the substance of the things I hope for. And folks, that hoping for, that's not, well, I sure hope so. I sure hope it will happen. No, that hope for is a confident expectation that something's going to happen. A confident expectation of good. Because I got a good God. He's got good things for me. Huh? And my faith in Him is that core of my being. It's that confidence, that joyful and confident expectation of salvation. I am confident. I'm expecting, man, when I shut my eyes here to open them and see Jesus. Woo, we'd be dancing with Vicky before long, man. My confidence. Earl's dancing. My confidence is that'll happen. But my confidence also is in that no matter what's going on in my life, my confidence is that the things that I hope for, I'm confidently expecting God to do good, big, and mighty things in my life. And it's my confidence. It's the evidence. It's the proof. That means it's been tested. That means it never fail. It's impossible for it to fail. Are you with me? And that's my confidence. And I don't have to see it. I don't have to feel it. It's my confidence before any of that takes place. It's my confidence. I know in whom I have believed. It's my confidence. I know He's well able. I know He's working in my behalf. I know He's causing the right things to come to pass. I know He's got a plan for my life. Are you with me? You see, I'm not just talking about some head something. Oh, I believe God. Well, we all believe God. We all believe He can. We all believe He will. But it's when I focus on Him, when I say, no, man, I reach out. It's like He's got a big pile of stuff right here. And I mean, in this pile of stuff is every kind of healing. It's every kind of health. It's every, man, there's new cars in that pile. There's big houses in that car. There's money. There's good jobs. There's got a big old pile here. And He says, Hank, I made that pile for you. How much do you want? Just go over here and get you a piece. And we're going, oh, I don't deserve it. Oh, no, you don't deserve it. That's why He did it. Call grace. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be standing up here preaching to a bunch of good people like you. I don't deserve to be in a great church like this. I don't deserve it. He just did it. They just call it grace. Psalms 91:2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in Him will I trust and rely on. You hear what I'm saying? Go ahead and play. Just don't sing yet because I want to read you two more verses here because this is what this all comes down to. Go ahead. You can keep playing. It's all right. John 15, verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my word, abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. Listen to that. What is the fruit that he's saying to bear here? What is the fruit that glorifies God? The fruit is that I ask and God's able to do something in my life. Are you hearing me? That's the fruit. We read this. This is the way we read this. This is the way I always read this. If you abide in me, Hank, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and I'll do it. And if you go out and do enough good works, I'll cause it to happen to you. Folks, that's all the same statement. The fruit he's talking about is the Father being able to be big in our lives because he loves us. See, we read everything from a position of works. I have to do this to earn it. I have to do this to deserve it. There's only one thing you have to do to earn it. There's only one thing you have to do to deserve it, and that's to ask Jesus into your heart. That's to believe Him for it. That's to trust Him for every aspect of your life. That's to say, God, I can do all things through you, and without you, I can't do anything. One more verse. Matter of fact, if you, this week, why don't you get in the Old Testament, read the Old Covenant, and read the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, the first statements are always, if you will, if you will, if you will, then I will do this. If you will hearken, if you will obey, if you will. You know what the words in the New Covenant are? He starts off saying, I will, I will, I will, I will. The difference between works and grace, by the way. In John 16:23, and then we're done. But he says, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. So ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Can you get this picture of God? If you don't get anything else today, can you get this picture of God? It glorifies God for your joy to be full. Huh? Huh? Nothing makes a parent happier than to be able to do something for their child that brings that big smile on their face. I call it the wow effect. How many like to do something for your kids or your grandkids? It's just the wow effect that they just go, wow. That's what he wants to do for you. Romans 8:32, he said, if God didn't spare his own son, wouldn't he also freely give us all things? Well, God loves you. And if you not let the enemy penetrate that wall or hedge around you of God's love, you'll be able to handle everything this day throws at you. Huh? You'll be able to handle everything comes your way. Because you can just look at it and smile, yeah, but Daddy loves me. See, some of us are so tensed up and religious bound that we can't even have a relationship with Daddy. Abba. Abba, Papa. Abba, Father. That's the spirit that's come in us when we receive Jesus, that we can go, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, you love me. I'm not talking about any disrespect. I'm talking about a deepness, a love that's so deep. Father, you love me. If I know that, none of this other stuff has too much effect on me. And I hope that we all begin to come into a bigger realization of that. I want everybody to stand. I chased too many rabbits. I meant to get done before now, but next week I'll work harder at it. How about that? I only preach 30 minutes. It just takes me an hour to do it. But I want you to have that relationship. I want you to know that whatever you're facing today, that you got a God that cares about you. You got a God that loves you. You got a God that's going to your defense. He's got everything you need. And for whoever it is that's here today and you don't know that you're saved, we're going to sing a song here, and when we sing it, if you don't know that you're right with God, I want you to come down and let one of us pray with you. Because I want you to know for sure. I want you to have this relationship that we've been talking about. So let's just sing. I'll just shut up and sing. If you need to come, if there's anything, any doubt in there that you're right with God, I don't care if you've been saved, if you've been baptized 32 times, filled with the Holy Ghost 28 times, I don't care if you've joined 43 churches, if there's something in there that says, I'm not right with God, I want you to come down here and we want to pray with you. Because we want you walking out of here today with a confidence in this God that loves us. Let's sing. Didn't think they was ever going to get to sing. If you need to come, if you need to be baptized, come on, we'll baptize you. If you just need to be prayed for your health, we'll anoint you with oil and God will heal you right over here on the side. If you need something, you just want somebody to agree with you, you come. We'll be happy to do that. So if you need to come, come. I'll just use this one. It's already wet. It's already wet. Mardell? Who else? Come on. Come on. Come on. This lady, it's her first time here. Some of you have been here several times and you don't know. Come on. You got something. It doesn't matter what you got. Come. Who else? Come on. Who else? Come on. Oh, Jesus loves you. God loves you. Who else? Come on. Isn't he good? We're getting ready to leave. Won't you just raise your hand and just tell him how good he is. Tell him how good he is. And if you need to come, it's still not too late. Come on. Come on. Well, there's people still coming. What about you? So what will people think? They'll think you're just wanting to get closer to God. That's all. It doesn't matter what they think anyway. Only thing that matters is what God thinks. If you need to come, come. Everybody in here, say something with me. Jesus, come into my heart. I give my life to you. I want to live it for you. And I need your help. Thank you for saving me. And that's not a prayer you just need to say one time. That's a prayer y'all say every day. I'm gonna let you guys go. I'm gonna dismiss you, but if you still need to come, come. We're still down here. We want you to know for sure. We want you to have the confidence. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad I didn't quit a while ago. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is that worth being late for lunch? Say, so, yeah, if you'd have shut up quicker, we could have done that quicker. Oh, I think God has stuff figured out. See, they're still coming, and if you need to come, you come even after we dismiss, okay? Because nothing's more important. Nothing's more important to God than you and your relationship with Him. Hey, I speak His blessings into your life. I believe Him to touch you in every area of your life. I loose the ministering spirits in the name of Jesus to cause things to happen for you, to cause the will of God to happen in your life. And I bind those foul spirits that are trying to keep you from having and being blessed with all God wants to bless you with. And I do that in the name of Jesus. And so you just be blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. God's blessed me. Love y'all. We'll be here tonight at 6 if you have time. And if not, we'll see you next week. Won't you bring somebody to church with you? Won't you get a whole bunch of kids signed up for this Bible school this week? It'll change their life. Hey, I love you. See you next time. If you're a first time attender, I'd love to shake your hand.